The recordings have started.
Thank you, Tony. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Business Constituency Members Conference call on Thursday, January 22nd, 2015 at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have Cheryl Miller, Elise Cooper, John Berard, Michelle King, Jimson Olafoy, Andrew Harris, Philip Corwin, Ellen Blackler, Beth Allegretti, Andy Graves, Cecilia Smith, Steve Del Bianco, Carolyn Greer, Carl Schoenander, Aparna. We have Jim Baskin joining, and Marie. One moment. And I would like to offer the apologies from Tim Chen, Gabriella Slack, Susan Calaguchi, Michael Moaz, Janet O'Callaghan, Bob Heimbecker, Scott McCormick, Ron Andrus. I'm joining from staff Brenda Brewers. As a reminder, please state your name for transcription purposes before speaking, and I'll turn it over to you, Elisa. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Brenda, and thanks to everyone for joining today. As usual, we've got a pretty full schedule, and I want to start off by telling you about a few things, but I also want to ask if there are any other items of business that people would like to add to our agenda today. And I'll look for a raise of hand to indicate that there's something that you'd like to also cover. Okay, so I want to start off. I want to tell you about three different things before we move into a CSG update. And the first thing I want to tell you about is Body's leader meeting that he has once a month. And I recently just sent you the transcript from that meeting, but I think there were kind of two big takeaways from that meeting. The first big takeaway from that meeting, I felt, was around the fact that Body was very clear that ICANN would not move forward with any IANA transition proposal unless it was paired with the accountability proposal. And he was very adamant about that. He said that Larry Strickling and the NTIA would also not accept the IANA proposal without the accountability track output. And so I thought that was very noteworthy, and that was probably, to me, one of the most important things that was discussed on that call. The other thing that Spotty made a request for was from us a list of three different bullet points that would basically state what it would mean to have ICANN working well, or for things to be, he called it a good ICANN would look like. What three bullet points would indicate what a good ICANN looked like. So at the end of this call, if you wouldn't mind just sending me three things that you think would be indicative of a good ICANN, that would be helpful, and I'll try to consolidate that and provide that back to him. So those were the sort of two, in my opinion, noteworthy actions on that particular call. Any questions about the leader call? Okay. The second item, I don't want to spend really any time, but I do want to mention recent events just to say that I realize they have been enormously time-consuming and have not been focused on our purpose, which is to develop policy and support ICANN and focus on security, stability, and resiliency of the Internet. That said, it's a very serious issue, and I'm taking it very seriously, and the Executive Committee will be meeting most likely in Singapore to discuss what the next steps are. So I don't have anything more to say, just that, I think it's been a very time-consuming, arduous discussion. Any questions about that? Okay, the last item that I'd like to talk to you about is ICANN Singapore. Now, I sent out to you a draft agenda at the beginning of the week, and we just met with the CSG XCOM. We had a very good call with them yesterday, and we made some slight additional changes, and I've received some feedback from members of the BC as well. So I will try to send out an updated agenda either today or early next week. One of the things that was added during our CSG discussion, and one of the things that we will be talking about with the ICANN board, and this is based on my understanding, their request, they would like to talk about those top five enterprise risks that many of you have sent your thoughts on. So I am collecting those, and I'll do my best to consolidate them so that we can do a final review. So I'm not certain whether we'll be sort of elaborating on what we think the top five enterprise risks are, or whether the board is going to because they will have already have received this information, or whether they will be asking us more in-depth questions about the information that we have provided in that list. Any questions about that? So again, I will do my best to consolidate the risks that have been sent to me, unless there is anybody that would like to volunteer to take that little project on. And I see no hands. Okay, so I will do that. So before we move on to our CSG update, any questions about either the leader meeting or the Singapore meeting? Okay. With that, Marilyn, are you on the phone?
Marilyn has not dialed in at this time.
Okay. So I was actually on, I'll just give you a brief update. I was on the CSG Executive Committee meeting yesterday, and as I mentioned, we basically hammered out our agenda, and we'll be talking about two items with the board. One is, I just mentioned, we'll be discussing from our own perspective, from the BC perspective, what we think the top enterprise risks are. And each constituency is going to speak for themselves on that particular topic. But then as a group, we'll be talking about issues around the IANA transition and ICANN accountability. And so we'll be able to spend on Sunday in our closed meeting a fair amount of time discussing with the other two constituencies, you know, what our thoughts are, what our concerns are. We'll be hearing from our experts in the IANA transition and accountability. So hopefully Steve will be able, I just sent a request to Steve. I'm sure he'll be happy to discuss in our CSG meeting his perspectives and how he thinks things are going in the cross-community working group on enhancing accountability. And then we'll be hearing from Wolf Ulrich Knobin on the IANA transition and Greg Shatton from the IPC on the IANA transition. And so we'll hear from them, get their perspectives, and then have a fair amount of time to discuss, you know, how we want to present that to the board. The other thing that we talked about in the CSG meeting was the fact that FADI seems to understand the importance of the three different constituencies, and that we have, even though we're part of the commercial stakeholders group, that the IPC, the BC, and the ISPs have different perspectives, and he seem to really understand that, especially at the intersessional, and also when we've spoken with him other times. And so we want to be positive and recognize that, you know, that the understanding is there so that we can have a more positive experience with the board. So at any rate, that's sort of where we're at with the CSG. So I think we're making good progress. We are planning to have our Tuesday breakfast with ICANN staff. As you know, GAC is usually, the Governmental Advisory Committee is usually our first choice, but the full GAC was not available, so we decided to ask the at-large advisory committee, but they were not available either, and so kind of down to asking ICANN staff. So they will be joining us for breakfast on the Tuesday. Steve, I see you have your hand up.
Thanks, Elisa. I just wanted to mention that at the intersessional, Fadi does what he often does. He acted concerned and shocked and acted as if he felt our pain about the CSG being forced into consolidating three constituencies. We pressed him on it a little further. He didn't even sort of reveal that he understood that's what's going on in these ACSO constituency leader calls. I had to remind him that when Elisa Cooper's on that call, she's on for the BC. And it all seemed to gel when he realized that from time to time, he and management do recognize the constituencies. And then he said that, I'm afraid it's just expediency. When we have to dip into the GNSO, we just scrape off the top of the CSG because we think that the SG level seems to be something in common. So he acts as if he really hasn't been conscious of this problem of the constituencies being forced to consolidate. Steve Metallic did a good job of asking him to fix it in the most immediate way possible, which is the affirmation of commitments review team that's coming up this year on evaluating the new GTLD program. And we encouraged FADI to solicit representatives of every constituency, so the BC would have its own instead of having one for the CSG. You know, a lot of you were at the intersessional. FADI as much as agreed to do that, but we'll have to hold him to that. And that's an immediate thing he can do to help us. And the other thing we said is that every time a cross-community working group is formed at ICANN, he should dip down to the constituency level for the cross-community working group. Don't cut that off at the SG level. So those are two immediate things that he seems to promise he'll do in the future. Did he discuss that at all on the leaders call that you had?
He did talk about that there could possibly be some change in the way that we present to the board. And, you know, that kind of he understood that we had the different perspectives and that we might want to take some time to speak separately. And so we're going to be doing that. So he did sort of make reference to that.
Yeah, the this issue of whether the CSG interaction with the board has to be changed, I'm afraid he'll gravitate to that. It's the easy thing to do. And it isn't really where we have our pain. I mean, speaking personally, it isn't difficult for us to come to agreement with the IPC and the ISPs. We take turns. Each of our chairs sit at the front table. Somebody from the BC gets to talk. And frankly, if we had something that the ISPs and the IPC didn't care about, we'd still have an opportunity to say that. But that isn't really what we want them to solve. We don't need them to change the whole structure of the CSG board interaction. That's, at least that's my opinion.
Okay. Since Marilyn's not on the call and you were actually at the intersessional, is there anything else you might be able to share that you think is noteworthy that folks should know about the intersessional? Or anyone else that was at the intersessional?
Yeah, that's a great idea. I'll observe that the NPOC, that's the Nonprofit Operating Constituency, that's a constituency within the non-commercial stakeholders group. They had six people show up, and they're just gradually beginning to acquire their voice. And their voice is not the same as the non-commercial users constituency, the NCUC. The NCUC continues to focus on requiring ICANN to respect privacy in the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, fair use of intellectual property and copyright material. That's their agenda, and the NPOC's agenda is a lot closer to the business constituency because the NPOC are people like the Red Cross and nonprofit organizations, and they're just as concerned about fraud and cyber squatting as we are. They're just as concerned about security, stability, and resiliency. Now, that just indicates that the constituency level diving down is probably going to work to our favor whenever we can make it happen. There was an extensive discussion of the GNSO restructuring, and fortunately the conclusion was that the GNSO reform, GNSO evaluation that's being done by Westlake should be expanded, should be extended, they should talk to more people, they should look at structural issues, but we're not trying to put all our eggs in that basket when it comes to getting constituency representation, because that has nothing to do with FADI agreeing to respect the constituency representation on things like the affirmation of review team or cross-community working groups. And I think it's best for us to keep those two threads separate because we can get immediate satisfaction from FADI on one, but it will take a long time and a big battle for us to change the structure within the GNSO. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Any questions for Steve about the intersessional or, again, about anything we've talked about or any questions, comments? None? Give me something. Come on. Somebody must have a question. There's no questions.
BC was well represented at the intersessional, and I think it could have been done in one day. They didn't really, we didn't have 2 days worth of work to do. But the BC was well represented. We cooperated superbly with the IPC and the ISPs, and it was generally a very positive experience. Even the disagreement on human rights and privacy didn't turn to disagreeable. It was simply a respectful debate that everybody had with each other. And I have a feeling there'll be more intersessionals like this, perhaps every 2 years. And it might well be that there would be a non-contract party house meeting on the Friday before an upcoming ICANN meeting. We'll no dates on that yet, and no commitment, but if it comes up, we'll be sure everybody knows in advance.
Thanks, Steve. Well, I think it's over to you, actually, to take us into policy.
All right, thanks, Elisa. Everyone's got a copy of the policy calendar. I circulated it last night, and I'll bet we can get through this very quickly. Thanks for putting that up, Brenda. All right, there are only 5 items that are open for public comment that need for us to pay attention to. The first is the release of territory names in the brand new GTLDs for .BMW and .MINI. Those are brand TLDs. BMW is not a member of the BC, but the point is when a TLD operator comes up with a plan on how to release these second-level names, we pay attention. Jay Scott was fantastic about circulating a draft back on January 12th. There have been 14 BC members who have agreed with them. Andy Abrams of Google, Jimson, made a couple of tiny edits, and those edits are in the attachment number 1 to the policy calendar. And today, on this phone call, this is our last call for those of you to share your thoughts and edits to that draft, because I will be submitting it tonight, or first thing tomorrow morning, since the due date is the 23rd, which is tomorrow. I'll take a cue. It's not necessary for folks to chime in if all you want to do is say that you agree with it. The cue that would be useful now is to understand if anybody has further changes to that first attachment that I circulated last night.
Steve, I don't really have any changes, but I do have a question that maybe some other members might be able to answer, and that is, in the agreement, there's a specification that has, you know, the prohibition on the country codes, and it says that you have to go to, you know, each government to make a request. Do we think that that will still have to happen?
They are seeking the release of all the country territory names at all levels. So when it says they seek the release, I don't understand how that removes the need for BMW to get permission.
So we think they still have to go get permission, let's say, if they want US.BMW, they'll still have to go to the US rep or some governmental authority to ask for the permission.
I can't be definitive on that.
I see David has his hand raised.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, it was actually just going to be a follow-up question. I mean, you know, there has been a lot of work to try and see if there could be a streamlined process to get approval for the use of country code, country name, at the second level in the dot brands. And I was wondering, like, do we happen to know if they're hoping that perhaps the GAC would develop a process that would provide a overall waiver for these two TLDs? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Can I make a comment? If you look at the page underneath, this is ICANN's own comment page, the one I provided a link to on this particular item. It says that the proposed release of the reserved country and territory names is still subject to review by the GAC. So this request has been forwarded to the GAC for consideration in the implementation of the amendment. So we're commenting on whether we think it's a good registry agreement amendment, and we're saying that we support it. But ICANN's own staff is saying that this is not discarding the GAC's ability to approve or disapprove this request.
Right, and I'm wondering whether maybe what we need to do is, if we agree with this, be supportive with the GAC of a general waiver of a country-by-country approval. I don't know if that's possible or not.
Yeah. Hey, David, it's Steve. You and I have talked about this for years and have asked about it. We never seem to get the GAC to move too much. But in their Singapore communique, and this is from March of 2014, the GAC said, quote, "We've discussed the brand registry group proposal for a streamlined process under an addendum to the registry agreement for the approval of country names and two letters at the second level." Then the GAC stated, quote, "We have no major concerns about brand owners seeking approval for such names, but the approval should be done directly with the country's concern rather than through the GAC." And the GAC noted that individual GAC members could assist with the proposals at the country level, and further suggested that consideration be given to establishing a register of countries that do not require that individual requests be made. I know. It's really moving along.
Well, Steve, as always, you're totally on top of the issue. Thank you.
But, David, I wish I knew more about it. But if you follow the link to the underlying page, we cannot force the GAC's hand on this. But I believe that it's constructive, because if BMW is able to get this through, it'll probably lead to the streamlined process that you're talking about.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Sorry.
No worries. Any other comments or questions on Jay Scott's original draft? Okay, let's go on to the second one then. If I don't hear from people by COB today, I'm going to format that comment and submit it on behalf of the business constituency. All right, second item is the translation and transliteration of contact data. There was a PDT initial report that came out. These comments are due to February the 1st. Now, Susan Kawaguchi circulated some ideas for a BC comment. That's the second attachment to the policy calendar. Jay Scott, Angie, Marilyn, and Jimson had said, we need additional help from BC members that are familiar with access to who is. Tim Chen wrote this morning to say that he would like to help, but I don't believe he's able to be on the call. We need help from others as well. Are there any comments on the translation and transliteration of contact data? David Ferris, I see your hand up.
No, sorry, that was from before. I'll put it down.
So, BC members, those of you who have experience with WHOIS data, where you need to go in and read WHOIS data, have access to it, and contact people, whenever you've had to do so, where the registrant information in WHOIS, it comes from another nation that doesn't use, for instance, the Latin script, it's using a language other than your native language, if that has presented challenges to you in the past, then that's precisely the kind of experience that would make you a valuable contributor to this draft. Anyone on the call ever had an experience that'll be helpful there? All right, seeing and hearing no additional input, what is on the screen in front of you is Susan's sort of rough draft. Now, a lot of you know Susan Kawaguchi departed Saturday morning for 2 weeks in Antarctica, and she is beyond radio contact down there. She gave this to us as sort of an initial starting point, but she by no means represented that this could be the finished product. We are going to need some help to turn this into a finished comment by February the 1st, which is really just a week away.
This is
okay,
Steve. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, please.
I'm happy to help. I'm driving right now, so I can't chime in, but I'm happy to jump back in tomorrow.
That's fantastic. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
Could you read Susan's draft when you get a chance, comment on it, and do a reply all, if you could, please?
Will do.
Thanks. Hey, third item up is the WHOIS accuracy. There's a pilot study that was done on the accuracy of WHOIS. That pilot study report came in. Comments aren't due till the end of February. We have some time. And Susan Kawaguchi promised me she would work a little bit on it. She knows this topic extremely well. She's going to work on it, and her draft will probably be available a day or two after she returns from Antarctica. She was thinking roughly the 1st of February. At that point, we have a lot of time, 3 solid weeks, for other members of the BC to chime in. And that's where J. Scott, Angie, Marilyn, and Jimson all said they would be able to help. So to the VC members, I would say, please read that pilot study report so that when Susan's comments come in late next week, you're in a good position to agree or supplement what Susan came up with. Any points on that? Thanks. Number four is the initial report on the GNSL Policy and Implementation Working Group. J. Scott chairs this event, chairs this working group. J. Scott, I don't see you listed on the call. So anyone else in the BC that's been familiar with the GNSO Policy versus Implementation Working Group would be a good time for you to share your insights and volunteer to help draft BC comments. While those of you are reaching for your volunteer hands, I'll remind you that this working group came about as a result of the episode we had with the straw man proposal on rights protection mechanisms. This was Fadi's first month in office. A lot of us from the BC, the IPC, and the ISPs came to him with a list of improvements that needed to be made to the RPMs and the new GTLD program, and Fadi was persuaded that we had a really good case. So he came up with the infamous straw man, which gave us a significant portion of our improvements, but it really stimulated controversy in that it was an implementation change that may or may not have matched with the underlying policy. Hence the launching of a whole new dialogue on how do we translate GNSO policy to staff implementation as a general topic. And that's what this is all about. The BC definitely has a stake in this one. And we have a volunteer to help Susan, to help J. Scott with his reply on this one. All right, we'll have to come back to you all on that. The final item for public comment is a proposal that seems to be led by staff as a reaction to complaints that come in from smaller registrars. What the staff is considering is reducing or eliminating.
I see Ellen's hand raised.
Great. Sorry, Ellen. Go ahead.
Sorry. This is Ellen. I was trying to say that I would help out on the Who Is pilot study report. I realize it's one issue behind, but I was having trouble with my hand.
Hey, Ellen, a volunteer who's one issue behind is still ahead of everyone else. Thank you very much. Thanks, Ellen. All right, I was on the number five. So a number of registrars want ICANN to reduce or eliminate the requirements for commercial liability insurance, which is currently in the RAA. Those comments don't close until March. We'll have time to revisit that later on. But the business constituency worked hard on getting a stronger RAA. But in this case, we better take a look at whether this commercial liability insurance could affect us as registrants, which would be our main interest. It might also affect us if we're looking to some data that registrars are holding, data like Who Is, right? If a registrar is unable to do the relay and reveal on a proxy service that it's offering, they're supposed to assume liability for the conduct if it was unlawful conduct. Well, what good is the assumption of liability if they don't have the money to satisfy a judgment? So I'm no lawyer, but it sounds to me like if you're going to take liability, then you damn well better have liability insurance to be able to pay damages that are due. Do we have anyone who's experience with commercial liability, particularly by registrars, who could volunteer to help the BC on this one? Elisa, go ahead.
I do. I think, of course, we don't want any change, and perhaps we want more.
Yeah, that'd be one way to go. Another is to potentially look at special cases of registrars where there could be some scale of liability coverage that's required, perhaps based on the region of the world that they serve or something like that. I have a feeling this is going to end up being a developing nation initiative that will be done to help them, as opposed to worrying about the needs of registrants and businesses that are trying to protect our customers.
Okay.
Anyone else able to help Elisa and I on this? All right, let me move to the second channel on this. policy calendar. It has to do with council. So Gabby served her last council meeting and will hopefully be confirming Phil Corwin as our next counselor. Susan is in Antarctica, and so neither of them are on the call to discuss things today. The previous GNSO council meeting was the 15th of January. I give you a pointer to the transcript, and Gabby reports there were no motions approved by council, nothing we need to cover there, and that the chair is currently making some small revisions to the letter about the NOMCOM changes. And this is a letter that John Berard drafted for the council based on the BC's extensive comments. Gabby says that Jonathan Robinson is making a few changes, but it looks as if the good work that John did is still going to carry through. The other council issue is that there's a meeting next week, the January the 29th, but as of today, there's still no agenda or motions posted for that, so it's hard for us to prepare too extensively for it. Any questions about council? All right, so Channel 3, which is other elements of interaction in the CSG, what I've noted for you is that here in Washington, the Internet Caucus Advisory Committee is holding a State of the Net event. And on next Tuesday, there's a panel they just added called the IANA Transition. And I'll be on that panel. Larry Strickling is speaking. Milton Mueller will be on it, a congressional staffer as well, and Teresa Swihart from ICANN. For sure it'll be transcribed or captured on video, and I'll circulate that as well. Now, there are two cross-community working groups I can give a very brief report on. One is the cross-community working group on ICANN accountability. We call it the CCWG. And this was done in response to all of us demanding that ICANN allow the community to define the accountability instead of having it be a top-down, structured, limited process managed and controlled by ICANN staff and management. After we got that, David Ferris worked on the group that drafted our charter. And the charter includes the BC suggestions for stress testing. We've done 7 weeks on the CCWG, and it has been grueling. The email list is overwhelming. We have calls every Tuesday at hours that seem designed to deprive me of sleep. And we had a two-and-a-half-day meeting in Frankfurt, Germany this week to have our first face-to-face to see if we could work towards a singular list. The chairs are putting out a statement later today about the meeting, but you can bet that it went very well. From the standpoint of those of us that think ICANN needs mechanisms to allow the community to challenge, to reverse, to overturn decisions made by board or management if those decisions frustrate the will of the community, the consensus of the community. And it was a quite intensive session. There were probably 50 people in the room, another 30 on the phones. At the end of the 2 days, we ended up with a sort of a new direction on stress tests and a new direction on accountability mechanisms. But the new directions look an awful lot like what the BC proposed. They look an awful lot like we had in the documents that I prepared as the rapporteur for the new mechanisms. But at this point, we have a much greater and broader degree of buy-in from other members of the cross-community working group. Because it seems that because the BC came out so early with specific measures, it just took a little bit of time, 7 weeks, that is, for others to get to where we are on this process. I circulated a mind map. It's a PDF that the chairs used at the meeting. Brenda, if it's possible to display that, I'd much appreciate it. It's a display capability of trying to understand the requirements that we, the community, have for this accountability transition. They look an awful lot, like I said, with the BC suggestions. It maps pretty closely to where we were going. So I feel like if this persists, we're probably in good shape. One of the biggest controversies right now is, how does the community represent itself? Is it going to just be an email list of the chairs of the ACSOs and SGs? Is there going to be an ad hoc cross-community working group, a permanent cross-community working group, which, by the way, is what the BC proposed last summer? Or is it going to be something more structured, like a new oversight board, or ICANN adopting a formal member organization, having members that represent the underlying Internet stakeholders? It's too soon to say which way we're going to go on that. but at the closing of yesterday's session in Frankfurt, I said that the BC wants these powers to be given to the community, but the BC didn't suggest that we had an absolute knowledge of what the structure had to be. If a lightweight structure, like a permanent cross-community working group, if that can be done, fine. But if it turns out that legally, that the community needs some legal status in order to be able to overturn a board decision, to disapprove a budget, to dump the members of the board, if we need some sort of a legal standing to do that, then we need legal counsel who understands California nonprofit law to comment on the structures that would work. So the CCWG is going to be hiring an attorney who's an expert in California corporate law. ICANN will pay for the attorney, but we, in the CCWG, we will be the client. So presumably that person will be hired in the next couple of weeks and will give us a chance to move ahead. Jim Baskin, I see your hand up. I'll close this piece of it off by just saying that in Singapore there will be three sessions on the CCWG. Two of them are working sessions on Monday and Thursday. That'll take me away from BC and CSG meetings. But on Wednesday morning at 10:30 in Singapore, there'll be an open session. So those of us on the CCWG will field questions from the community and explain where we're going on this accountability. Jim, over to you.
Thanks. This is Jim Baskin. Related to the stewardship transition activities, I saw yesterday evening, Eastern Time, an announcement from ICANN about a webinar, and I was wondering if ICANN had talked about that at the Frankfurt meeting. For those that may not have seen this, the title is Webinar Invitation, IANA Stewardship Transition, ICANN Workshop and Webinar for Civil Society and the Non-Commercial Sector. And from what I can see of the agenda, it is being run entirely by ICANN staff, primarily Teresa Swinehart. My first reaction was that this doesn't seem like a totally good thing to happen, considering that who it's designed to address, who it's addressing, and who's giving the presentations. I think it might be a little lopsided and potentially cause some more difficulties for the transition, the CCWG, in the upcoming weeks and months. Any thought on that?
Jim, this is Steve. I'll let Phil Corwitz speak to that in a minute here, but you just jumped over to the CWG on stewardship. I was only discussing the cross-community working group on ICANN's overall accountability. I know that there's relationships between the two, and we spent a good deal of time in Frankfurt discussing those relationships. But this particular webinar to educate the civil society, that never came up. I hadn't heard about it. If you wish, you can maybe circulate to the BC list that webinar, and some of us can tune in. So let me go to Phil Corwin. You might have something specific to say on this.
Yes, Steve. Actually, I had a comment about the stewardship. We're not on that yet, so you can go ahead, and I can chime in when we get to that part.
Well, Phil, I think Jim Baskin just took us over to stewardship, but I appreciate you waiting so that I could see if there's any questions that members have on this mind map of new powers for the community. Thanks, Brenda, for putting it up. The one indicates Workstream 1. Workstream 1, everyone, are the items we think that ICANN has to either have implemented or firmly committed prior to the transition of the IANA function. The notion of Workstream 1 is that we need things in Workstream 1 where we have the leverage to force ICANN to accept community oversight that it would not otherwise accept. So we're using it as leverage. And we're doing all of this very openly. The word leverage came up all the time in the meeting, and the room's full of board members and staff. And everyone gets that now. There isn't any more denial. There's no more notion of perceived leverage. They all get it. And I heard members of the CCNSO get up and talk about the fact that the U.S. government's ability to take away the IANA contract was a big stick, is what Roloff said, the German Dutch folks. They called it a big stick. So they understand the leverage. They understand why we need it to be able to force ICANN to accept accountability structures that they might otherwise resist. So I see a couple of hands up in the queue. Jim Baskin? Elisa?
Do you think it would be beneficial for us to spend some time when we meet in our meeting on Tuesday to go through these in more detail. Or I guess I'd also ask if members think it would be beneficial to do that.
Alyssa, I'm sorry. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. The question is, do you think it would be, I guess, do you members think it might be beneficial to spend some time going through each one of these different items in the work stream to discuss them and what they actually entail? In a way that maybe Steve can provide additional color. I don't know. I'm asking the question if members would like to spend time with that, to do that. I think I see Andrew Mack with a yes.
Yeah, and this is David. I agree too. I think it would be helpful for us to do that. I think a lot of these are consistent with already with existing BC positions, so just figuring out.
Yeah, and Laura.
David's right. A lot of this had to be abstracted to fit on the chair's preferred display method that you have in front of you. They like little one-liners, but the BC has multiple sentences of detail behind most of the items in this list.
Steve, Phil here. Two quick comments. One, I agree with Alyssa that whether it's in Singapore or before, it'd be good for us to spend some time going through this chart and really understanding it. I have one question. For me, other than the specific actions that the accountability working group decides need to be in work stream one, that the one essential thing that has to be created to supplement that in work stream one is a process that guarantees that post-transition further accountability measures that emerge out of work stream two, that there is a process by which the community can consider those and move them forward and change the bylaws or board composition or whatever is required to implement those second degree changes that are going to come in the future. So is that in this chart or is that something that needs to be considered further?
Yeah, it's not in the chart, but it came up extensively at the Frankfurt meeting, and there was a debate about whether there had to be timelines. At that point, I said the whole point of Workstream 1 was to give us the powers to be able to execute virtually anything that fell under Workstream 2 if it was supported by bottom-up consensus. So the point here would be that let's suppose that we needed a bylaws change to allow the community to appoint the ombudsman. Those of you who are looking at the screen, you'll see it's at the bottom with a number 2 on it. The number 2 signifies appointing Workstream 2. So, Phil, if this fell to Workstream 2, in my belief, there's no need to put a date on it because the deadline is the deadline is all about us, the community. Because in Workstream 2, if the community really does have consensus that we should appoint the ombudsman, then a cross-community group can come up with a bylaws change, route it to the board, and then the board decides whether to adopt it. If the board did not adopt it, well, then the powers we have on the screen in front of you in Workstream 1 allow us to overturn that board's decision. So if we acquire the power to overturn a board's decision, if we get standing to file reconsideration requests as a community, we don't have that today, well, then we have the ability to force through a change that is supported by community consensus. But nothing in the BC comments or anything we're considering right now says that this permanent cross-community working group will pick up a pen and write a bylaw change or pick up a pen and scratch through line items in the budget. It's really an up or down approval of something, approval or override of something the board did. We do not want to circumvent the bottom-up process by letting this new permanent cross-community working group write stuff and write policy. So my point to you is if we have a deadline, it's on us, it's not on the board. If there's a process, it's a bottom-up process, not a top-down one. So I'm not convinced yet there needs to be a roadmap for everything in Workstream 2, because you don't need a roadmap if you have the capability and powers we're trying to get in Workstream 1.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm not arguing for a roadmap for Workstream 2, and I'm not arguing for any deadline. I just want to make sure that we have created a procedural framework whereby at any point in the future, it could be 10 years from now, post-transition, if the community through the bottom-up process needs to be there needs to be a change, and it involves changes in the bylaws, a board, or anything else, that there is a process available to let that happen. So just to be clear on that point.
I think that makes sense, Phil, but I'm going to probably need some help to articulate that process, and I think it'll end up being a process that is community-driven. It won't be staff-driven and management-driven. You would agree?
Yeah, I do. Yes.
Cool. Great. Carl? Can't hear you, Carl. Carl, if you're speaking, we're not hearing you, and you have your hand up. All right, well, he sorts that out. Any questions on this chart? Great. We'll move on to the last item I had on the list, which was the IANA transition, the stewardship-related item. And Jim Baskin made a comment on this earlier about a webinar. He's going to circulate that to the list. Phil Corwin, you wanted to come in on this right now.
Well, it's about the stewardship.
That's what we're on.
Yeah. On the stewardship, I just want to report I listened in on the stewardship, the name group, the naming group, of course, is the important one, on their call this morning, and just to report on timing, they're not going to have something complete to send to the ICG for some time. They won't have it by Singapore. They were actually discussing whether members could meet somewhere after Singapore, you know, in the region, but that was scratched. It wasn't practical. But they're talking about having a revised proposal for the naming functions out sometime after Singapore and putting it out for public comment, and the discussion was whether it would be a short public comment period or a two-part period totaling 42 days. So we're not going to have a final proposal from them that has community consensus till mid to late March at the earliest, based on what they were saying this morning. And that's way after the January 15th or 30th deadline they were given by the ICG.
Thanks, Phil. I concur. The discussion we had in Frankfurt made it clear that there's some discussions on alternatives to Contract Co, for the naming function that you spoke of. It'll take a while for those alternatives to be evaluated. They're leaning heavily on the CCWG, the group that I'm representing us on. They're leaning heavily on us to come up with board redress, board decision overview, and we're going to do everything we can to make that available in terms of the IANA functions. But we're being careful to stay within our charter while still being helpful to them. And I would agree with you. This whole thing looks like it's going to be very difficult to get done before September. There's quite a bit of speculation that we would see an extension of the IANA contract to accommodate that. But nobody wants to talk about extension until there's recognition that the community is definitely committed to making this happen, and that an extension is not a simple tactic of delay or a way to avoid doing the transition. Any other questions or comments? I'll turn it back over to Elisa. Carl, your hand's still up, but we still don't hear you. Elisa, back to you.
Thanks so much. I think, from what I gathered, it would be beneficial for us to definitely spend additional time. I know that you'll be presenting to the CSG on some of the highlights of the work that has occurred related to the CCWG on enhancing accountability, but I think if we could talk specifically about some of those items in Workstream 1, I think that would be helpful when we meet just as the BC. With that, I will actually turn it over to an update from Jimson. Jimson, over to you.
We're getting Jimson on the line right now. It should be just a moment. There, that was fast.
Can you hear me?
Can you get closer to the microphone, Jimson?
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid we can't hear Jimson.
Okay. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. First and foremost, I would like to add to what Steve talked about with regard to intersectional. We also talk about Net Mundial initiative at intersectional. And, of course, at INAP stewardship and accountability mechanism development. There was a consensus position developed by all participants at the event, and that has to do with the structure of the GNSO review process. So, in addition, concerning the banking and finance challenge we have in our CSG, I did mention to us that I will present it or we'll discuss it in the
I think we lost Jimson again.
Yes, we did. The operator will be calling him right back if we want to stand by or one moment.
While we're doing that, so just a couple things. I'll provide my closing remarks now. Be on the lookout for an agenda from me. Again, it will incorporate feedback from the CSG XCOM as well as input that I've received so far from BC members. We can still, in terms of our own agendas, move things around. And if you have ideas, things you want to talk about, I'll do my best to get those into the agenda for Singapore. Also, our next BC meeting is scheduled for the 5th of February, but I know that many people will be in transit then on their way to Singapore. So I think we're going to actually have to cancel that meeting for the 5th and then resume on the 19th of February, which will be the week after we return from Singapore. Jimson, go ahead.
Oh, so sorry. I was just talking. I didn't know I was off. I don't know where I was when the network was cut off. I did talk about banking and finance, banking and invoicing, that the issue is being tackled, and FADI is taking it off for us. So we are following it up with a note to FADI, and we hope that could be resolved for the CLG. Then on finance, I said we have 58,000 still in our account. 58,000 euro is about $80,000. And three prospective members are in the process of joining in. So we're finalizing their membership processes. Then with regard to operations, I think we need to take a close look at our governance mechanism, decision-making processes, and how we communicate in the list. So I would suggest this be part of our discussion at our closed-door meeting in Singapore. And finally, just as a reminder, I would like to urge us to use the outreach facility available in ICANN to foster the work of BC. CROP is there to be used. The outreach support of 10K is pending. But as we all know, we expect two leaders from Malaysia and Nigeria with prospects of becoming members of BC. So they'll be joining us in Singapore through the leadership fund. So that is basically what I have to report at this moment. Thank you.
Any questions for Jimson? Thank you, Jimson, for that report. Anything else from anyone before we sign off? All right. I look forward to seeing you all soon. And as always, there will also be remote participation, and we'll get those links sent out as well. So either I look forward to hearing you on the line or seeing you in person in Singapore. Safe travels to everybody, and we'll talk soon. Thank you so much.